Welcome to Spokane Public Radio's Music That Matters, an hour dedicated to the sounds that form, comfort, and entertain us, our music that matters. I'm host and producer Jim Tevenin. This edition, our Opus 31, is very close to my heart because it features a musician and music educator I've happily been able to get to know and work with almost since his arrival at Whitworth University in 2003. For 18 years, Mark Hafso has been director of vocal and choral activities at Whitworth, and for several of those years, I was delighted to welcome Mark and his choirs to perform at St. Augustine Parish here in Spokane, where I was then music director. The combination of love and craft that Mark brings to his work was then and continues now to inspire me. I hope his story will inspire you as well. First, though, let's get to know Mark Hafso through his music. This is a piece I heard the choir first sing many years ago. Here are the Kyrie and Gloria movements of Mark's Missa Pacem, sung by the Whitworth Choir.
Excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis, gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax.
Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis, gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax.
Saus hominibus bone voluntatis.
Saus hominibus bone voluntatis.
Voluntatis.
Adonis.
The clarity and rhythmic energy heard in that performance of selections from Mark Havso's own Missa Pacem by the Whitworth Choir are salient characteristics of the sound of his ensembles, as is the richness of tone and responsiveness to the dynamics of a piece such as Z. Randall Stroop's Amor de mi alma, You Are the Love of My Soul. Again, Mark Havso leads the Whitworth Choir. Our pianist throughout the evening is Mary Trotter. The poetry of Garcilaso de la Vega, set by Z. Randall Stroop and sung by the Whitworth Choir. We've met Mark Hafso now as composer and conductor. Let's turn to his beginnings in the world of music.
My parents were both musicians and educators, and interestingly enough, my wife's parents were the same. And my dad was one of 12, and they were all musical in playing one instrument or another. And so that was my upbringing as a wee young boy. My father was a musician, pianist, composer. He was my junior high music teacher. And I, in many ways, followed in his footsteps later in life as a choral conductor, first at public school levels, teaching levels, and then later at university levels.
Your roots are in Canada, in Alberta.
Yes and yes, or no and no. Let me just...
Well, declare it. That'd be good.
Sure, yeah. I was born in the U.S. of Canadian citizens. Mm. And again, interestingly enough, my wife was born, but of opposite circumstances. So she was born in Canada of U.S. citizens. So I felt, as a young boy and into my middle teens, as kind of a Canadian growing up in the States. And I think probably Judy, my wife, had a similar experience in Canada. And I hold dual citizenship. Our children hold dual citizenship. And so we have been able to move back and forth across the border easily for both educational and professional employment kinds of opportunities. So it's been a bit of like a ping pong ball going back and forth across a net for us.
Yeah, it has given your life and your career that much more space in which to operate freely, which is, and of course, being someone who has feet in both countries, you have at your disposal kind of the zeitgeist or the basic spirit, which is quite different in some cases between the two nations.
That's true. When I was young, as a young boy, I used to say I was 50% American and 50% Canadian. But as I would grow, I realized I was 100% both and had the good fortune of this reality of being a citizen of two countries and having lived in two countries and education in both countries and employed in both countries. And so it has given me a unique perspective on many things, certainly more opportunities within the professional world, the performing artist, artistic world, but also into other areas, politics and whatnot.
Let's go back to you growing up then. Did you start with voice or did you start with an instrument?
Started with instrument, but actually voice was right there too. My father, he was a graduate of St. Olaf College, and he sang in the St. Olaf Choir, graduating in 1952, with a lot of the big choral heavyweights in this country that we've come to know and love and appreciate over the last several decades. He then went to Los Angeles to begin a career as a jazz pianist. He was a member of the Local 47. It wasn't long afterwards, though, that he felt called to teach at a little fledgling Lutheran day school that was sponsored by a Lutheran church. Very small kind of operation, but then grew into something very, very big. So for 22 years, my father was minister of music at a really large Lutheran church in North Hollywood. He developed a choral system of up to seven choirs. And so I have been singing in a choir since I was in kindergarten. Further to that, he thought when I was in 10th grade, I was ready to take a choir. So my first formal choral experience as a director came as a 10th grader probably 50 plus years ago. But my parents also had us take piano lessons. I even started playing from probably kindergarten through 4th grade the Irish harp, believe it or not, because my parents had a connection with a harpist. And so I did that. Later then moved to trombone, and that was partly the band influence at the junior high school that my dad taught at. And so, yes, really very fortunate, real fertile kind of ground for musical inquiry and musical opportunities.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about those musicians who have feet in both the jazz world and, shall we call it, the art music world.
Mm-hmm.
And you had kind of a ringside seat for that with your dad being a jazz pianist and also working in the church, in the
yeah.
Lutheran church.
Yeah.
Was there a special swing to the German chorales, or did he manage to really draw a separating line between the two stylistically?
I think he drew a line because I think he thought that was the right thing to do. It was appropriate back in that day and age, mm-hmm. kind of like the hide your light under a bushel. I mean, or not to do that. He did that mm-hmm. in that church community with respect to the jazz part of his being.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knew, and at any opportunity that he played, that they could, they would get him to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with a little bit of encouragement, then he would go. And he was marvelous.
What was the first choir that you directed?
The first choir that I directed, like in getting a paycheck for?
Well, I mean, you're talking about when you're still a teenager.
Oh, yeah, that was a mm-hmm. choir of 30 first graders.
Oh, my.
30 first graders. I did that for at least 2 years. And then I would help out my father as kind of the go-to director when he couldn't direct either the large high school choir at this big church or the adult choir. So I had opportunities there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one was in 1970 with a bunch of first graders. I was pretty freshly scrubbed in those days, said Jim.
I won't ask you the repertory that
thank you.
They
sang. I appreciate that.
But let's move on to these first experiences as you substituted for your dad on various occasions. Do you recall your first quote unquote real piece of choral music to prepare and conduct?
Probably the first real pieces came when I was in university
mm-hmm.
and a number of times would step in when the conductor couldn't be there. And so I guess that would probably be it. It's a long time ago, so I'm racking my brain. And then, of course, high school teaching is where it started in terms mm-hmm. of learning how to program and what literature is well suited to the choir, to the audience, to the occasion, and so forth.
Let me ask a question a different way, because there's no right or wrong answer
okay.
here. And there may indeed not be an answer, because that is something that's kind of back there in the days of yore. A lot of times, musicians will say that there is a piece, or quite often it is a piece,
mm-hmm.
that really hooked them. That really led them into what they wound up doing.
Okay. There still isn't one piece,
right.
but there is kind of a body of works that were very influential on me. And mm-hmm. and that was the works that my father brought from his St. Olaf Choir experience to this church in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you were to look at a number, just about any of the Lutheran church choral libraries or Lutheran college choir libraries, you would see a lot of the same kind of names.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the names of composers that people like F. Melius Christiansen or Olaf, his son, Olaf Christiansen, mm-hmm. would have trumpeted in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Some that are more well-known and others maybe not so well-known, but came out of that kind of a mixture of the Germanic and Norwegian kind of hymnody
mm-hmm.
tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
I will pour out my spirit, words from the Acts of the Apostles, music by Bernard Naylor, performed by the Whitworth Choir, led by our Music That Matters guest, Mark Hafso.